Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Man, I'm so glad to see you. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you, guys. And I want to thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us in the room. Thanks for joining us online. I want to wish all the dads happy Father's Day. Whew. Question for you guys. This is an all skate. Everyone can answer this question. And I actually want you to participate, okay? I want you to raise your hand. Do you like that all skate? Some of you got that, didn't you? Some of you got it. For the rest of you, there used to be these things called skating rinks. And we would, anyway, that's a long story. How many of you, seriously, be bold here. How many of you have ever donated to a gym? You got it. Yeah, see, donating to a gym is when you join a gym and you keep paying for the gym, but you don't go to the gym. Gyms thrive on donors, by the way, if you don't know that. I have donated to many gyms in my life. You know, I've gone a few times, but I've donated a lot. First time I donated to a gym, I was in college. And me and my college roommate, we decided, man, we're going to join this gym. It was right down from our apartment. And, I mean, it was an incredible, incredible gym. I mean, they had everything you could imagine. They had weight rooms. They had saunas. They had a place you could swim. They had a nutrition center. They had these fitness coaches. You could ask them questions. I mean, it was amazing. And me and my roommate, we went in, and we were like, we want to join the gym. And we went in, and we signed up. We paid our fee, and we went for like a week and a half. And then we said, man, we hate the gym. And so we stopped going for about a week. Then my roommate was like, hey, I'm going to go cancel our membership. Is that cool? I'm like, yes, please. Go cancel the membership. He comes back and he goes, I got bad news, man. I said, what? He said, we didn't read the contract. So what are you talking about, contract? He goes, remember that thing we signed? I was like, yeah. He said, yeah, we signed up for a year. So you know what we did? We donated to the gym for a year. We never once went back that entire year. And the craziest thing happened over that year. I didn't get in any better shape. I didn't. I got absolutely no benefit from a thing I had every right. I had a tag. I had a little code that I could scan. I had 100% access. I had the right. I had paid for it. It was mine. Didn't use it. And I experienced zero benefit from that membership. Now, you understand this. This isn't life-changing information that if we don't use the gym, we don't get any benefit from the gym. You understand that. You got to go. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the effort. You got to learn the techniques. You got to go. You got to do the things if you want to get the value. See, we all inherently understand this when it comes to something as simple as the gym. I don't know about you, but sometimes I tend to miss it when it comes to things like our faith, when it comes to things like church, when it comes to things like having a relationship with God. See, God makes everything fully and freely available. We don't have to pay a penny. But we do have to put in the work. We have to put in the time. We have to put in some effort. We have to play our part in order for us to gain the benefits of all that he offers. And to really help you understand why I would say that, I want to take you to a story today. It's a story that Jesus taught. Maybe you don't know this. During Jesus' 3-year ministry, he would often go out and he would preach. And we are told that every single time he taught, he told a story. He always used stories. This is a parable he taught. And the reason he taught in parables was because people can sometimes understand things easier when a picture is used. And the parable we're going to look at today, Jesus taught almost 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet to illustrate the point I was just talking about, that when it comes to him, there's some effort it required. There's some things we could do, but it's better than that. It's bigger than that. He taught us this story to give me and you and us a key, a guide, for when we find our lives not heading in the direction we want, when we find some area lacking, when we find some defect, some deficit in our marriage, in our careers, in our friendships, he gives us this story as a guide to what to do when we aren't satisfied with where we are. And so I have good news and bad news today. The bad news is this: if your life is perfect, I have nothing for you today. Meet me afterwards and tell me how, please. But hey, if you're a dad in the room, if you're a mom in the room, if you're a student in the room, anywhere in between, and there's an area of your life that you're just not satisfied with, there's an area in your life that something just tells you, man, as we say at our church, better is possible here, and I don't know how to get it. You pick the perfect Sunday to be here because I want to take you to this story where Jesus gives us the key. He says, here's what you do when you aren't fully satisfied with what you have. We're going to be in the book of Matthew. If you brought your Bibles, you can open them. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. Matthew is the very first biography we have of Jesus' life. Matthew was an eyewitness. He was one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's story, Matthew was actually a tax collector, which in those days was basically a con man. And Jesus walks up to him one day and he says, hey, I didn't say today they're con men. 2,000 years ago, they were. They were. They were. If you don't know the story, what the Roman tax collectors would do was Rome would tell them how much they had to collect. But Rome had no authority over what they asked for. So you could owe, let's say you owed $5. A tax collector could come to your house and say you owe $15, and you had to pay it. And he pocketed the 10, and everyone knew it. So they were despised. They were con men. Jesus walks up to him one day and says, hey, Matthew, quit that. Come follow me. Matthew goes, me? Are you looking for a different Matthew? And Jesus says, no, you. Matthew gave that up. And we're talking about him 2,000 years later because he wrote one of the biographies of Jesus' life. Little side sermon there. God can use anybody. You're never too far gone for him. All right, so Matthew is an eyewitness. He sees Jesus teach this sermon, teach this story, and he writes it down for us. And so I want to share it with you today. We're going to look at the story. And then as Jesus often had to do, he had to explain the story. And then we're going to apply it to ourselves. All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. And here's what Jesus says. First thing he says is, listen. I love it. I love it. Jesus is basically a preschool teacher trying to get everybody's attention. You know, what do they say? Clap once if you can hear me. Clap twice if you can hear me, right? That's what Jesus is saying. He's trying to get everybody's attention. He's saying, hey, listen. Then he says, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. Now, in 2022, Horry County, some of us might have some sense of what that means. Maybe you have a garden in your backyard. Maybe you have some land. Maybe you have a farm. But for Jesus' audience, when he says a farmer went out to plant some seeds, a picture pops in their brain because they all did it. If they didn't do it, they had a brother who farmed, or they had a sister who farmed, or they had an aunt or an uncle or a parent. It was inherent in them. It would be like if I said to you today, a family decided to plan a day at the beach. If I say a family decided to plan a day at the beach, I don't have to say anything else. You know what that means. You know you have to make sandwiches. You have to get the coolers. You have to get the umbrellas. You have to make the kids have on sunscreen. You got to figure out where you're going to park. You have that picture. That's what Jesus is doing here. He says, hey, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And immediately everybody in the room is like, okay, I know what he's talking about. I know exactly what's about to happen. And here's what he says. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath. And the birds came and ate them. What he's saying is, hey, this farmer's out scattering seeds, and some seeds fell on a footpath. They never had a shot. The birds came down. They took them away. He keeps going. He says, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. This was some soil that was kind of on the outskirts of the field. There were a lot of rocks underneath. He hadn't done the work to get rid of the rocks. And he says, those seeds, they sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. So some seed fell on this very shallow soil. It wasn't cultivated well, and they sprung up, but then they died. He keeps going. He says, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Other seeds, they fell on the soil that was decent soil, but again, the soil hadn't been tended, and so there were thorns in there, and those thorns choked out the life of the plant. And Jesus says, and still other seeds, they fell on fertile soil. And they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. He said, but some seed, it fell on the fertile soil. And it experienced exponential growth. Growth beyond the farmer's imagination. Because it wasn't just good soil, it means it was a good seed. There was life in that seed. There was vibrance in that seed. So Jesus tells them this story, and then he says these words. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. That means he's done telling the story. Now, if you don't get the point of the story, you are in good company. Neither did Jesus' disciples. They immediately pull him aside, and they're like, what? You said anyone with ears to hear should listen. Well, we got ears and we listen and we do not understand. And then they actually asked him, they said, man, why do you do this? Why do you even speak in parables? And he answers them in this really long drawn out, hey, this is a part of God's prophecy. God said this was going to happen through Isaiah. And that's why I teach this way. And then he sits them down and he says, do you really want to understand this story? And they're like, yes, please, because you just told us it was really important that we understood this. And he said, okay, let me explain it. Here's what he said. He said, the seed that fell on the footpath, well, that seed represents people. It's those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seeds that was planted in their hearts. Basically, what Jesus is doing is he is describing different types of people and their relationship to the kingdom of God, their relationship to the things of Jesus. Back to the gym analogy, these people are people that just drive by the gym. They don't go in the gym. They're not even sure where the gym is. They don't even know what a gym is. They just see this building and they just go by. They are absolutely clueless to what goes on in that building, which means, of course, they're going to get no benefit from it. And what Jesus would talk about when he's talking about soil, he would define this as careless soil. Literally, care less. They couldn't care less. And you know people like that in your life. I know people like that in my life when it comes to the things of God. They just literally could not care less. They're just not interested in it whatsoever. And Jesus' point is, well, hey, if you're not interested at all in the things of God, even if you hear the things of God, they're just going to bounce right off of you. They're not going to make any difference because you or your friend or your family, your neighbor, your coworker, they just have no interest in the things of God whatsoever. Now, I highly doubt that characterizes anyone in this room because it is a gorgeous day and there are many things you could be doing with your hour rather than sitting in here if you just absolutely have no care at all about the things of God. But Jesus is explaining to his followers, hey, there's going to be people, man, they're just not going to care. They're just not going to get, they're not going to pay attention. There's nothing you can do to change that, nothing you can do about that. It just is what it is. And so he keeps going. He says, so the seed on the rocky soil, remember the rocky soil was that shallow soil. It represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing in God's word. He's saying, now there's some other people, this rocky soil where these big boulders are underneath and the soil is shallow, even if God's word falls there, as long as those rocks remain, they're never going to be able to grow deep roots. And so when things get difficult, they're going to fall away. Let's get back to the gym analogy. These are people who join a gym, work out for 1 week, realize they're sore, and they stop. You know, they're like, oh, that was too difficult. That was no fun. And what Jesus would call this and what we're calling this is these are people, what I would call the convenient soil. hey, man, I'll listen to the things of God. I'll come to church. I'll pay attention as long as it's convenient, as long as it makes me feel good, as long as it tickles my ear. But the second, man, you say something I don't like, you say something about the way I behave, the way I should treat my kids, the way I should treat my family, you say anything about my money, boom, I'm out. Jesus is just explaining, hey, man, that's the way some people are going to react. That's the way it's going to be. Some people are going to have a convenient soil, and we see what's going to happen. The seed can take root, it can sprout, but because there's no anchors there, because there's no deep roots, eventually they're probably going to fall away as well. He keeps going. And then he says, the seed that fell among the thorns. Now, this is good soil, but there's thorns in there. And he says, that represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. There's too many competing voices. There's too many things competing for the top spot is what Jesus is saying. These are the people. These are the people. And if you work out, you see these people. These are people that go to the gym almost every day. They're there. They're dressed in gym clothes. They got their water bottles. But then they get there, and they don't work out. You know these people? They talk to people and they chat. Hey, Bill, how you doing? You know, and before they know it, they've been there for an hour. They've lifted half a weight, but they've had 30 conversations. They were there. Nothing bad happened. But they weren't focused on the purpose of being there. Jesus would call this is what we would call a crowded soil. And it's not even crowded with bad things. When it comes to our actual faith, I mean, there are so many things that can compete with God for the top spot in our lives. And they're great things. Our career, our friends, our family, our kids, our spouse. They can all compete. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, I get that. But if we don't make a choice to choose that he's going to be at the top, he's just saying, hey, what's going to happen is eventually things are going to get crowded out and they also will not produce the results that I think they want and they're expecting in their lives. And then he explains this last one. He says, and the seed that fell on the good soil, well, that represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. And that seed produces a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as have been planted. 100 times. As much exponential growth. These are very simply the people who go to the gym and use it. They go to the gym and they work out. And when they have questions, they ask the trainers. Or they take a friend. And they go and they put in the time and they put in the effort. And over days and weeks and months and years, they notice a dramatic, drastic change. What Jesus would call this in terms of the soil is he would call this committed soil. It's just simply people who have chosen to commit to him. In fact, let me show you all four of these. So we have four soil conditions that Jesus describes, right? We have the careless, convenient, the crowded, and the committed. And as you've noticed, he's really not talking about soil conditions. What he's really talking about is soul conditions. He's saying there are four soul conditions. Careless, convenient, crowded, and committed. And this is where we come to the tension of the sermon. Because if we're not careful, what we could hear Jesus teaching could discourage us. Because we could hear Jesus saying, some people are born with a careless soul. Some people are born with a convenient soul. Some people are born with a crowded soul. And then some people are born with a committed soul. So you just got to deal with the soul you have. Good luck. Hope you're committed. But again, to read it that way is to miss the beginning of the story. Jesus said a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And every single person in that, within the sound of his voice, knew what that meant. And when he talked about the seed that fell on the footpath, they could visualize the footpath. And when he talked about seed that fell on the shallow soil, they could visualize that. And when they talked about seed that fell on the thorny soil, they could visualize that. And when they thought about seed that fell on the good soil, they could visualize that. And not one person in the room thought the soil became good by itself. Because that's not how farming works. All the soil was footpath soil to begin with. And then they did some work. And they cultivated it. And they plowed. And they removed boulders. And they removed thorns. And eventually, after time, after effort, after energy, they are left with fertile soil. It never would have crossed their mind to think, oh, I hope I'm not a footpath. What would have crossed their mind is, what do I have to do to turn the footpath into fertile soil? What do I have to do to turn the rocky soil into fertile soil? What do I have to do to turn the thorny soil into fertile soil? See, Jesus isn't condemning us. He isn't even warning us. He is inviting us to understand our lives. He is giving us a picture. Hey, if you don't like where you're headed, if you don't like the results, look at the soil of your soul. Because it might need some cultivating. It might need some effort on your behalf. And I know this because, see, I read you the beginning of the story, and then I read you the end of the story, and I was pretty sneaky about it. I skipped the middle of the story. Because in the middle of the story, Jesus explains this. Right after the disciples are like, man, why do you teach in parables, he says something amazing, not just about the parable, but to explain what he's trying to teach to his disciples and to us. Here's what he says. He says, guys, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm the farmer, and I am scattering my seed all over the world. I give my love, I give my wisdom, I give my teaching, I give my guidance, I give my hope, I give my encouragement, I give it to everyone. I give it indiscriminately. It is freely and fully available for everyone at any moment of the day. I love you and I am pouring out on you. The effectiveness of my word in your life is completely up to you. I cannot cultivate the soil of your soul. And so what he's saying is, hey, when you find yourself struggling, when you find yourself lacking, when you find yourself not happy, remember this story and remember the four soul conditions we talked about. See, he's not talking about four different people. He's talking about either four different seasons in our life or even different areas of the same life. See, if there's an area you're struggling in, if there's an area where you don't feel like you're getting the results you want, I think the first question Jesus would want us all to ask is, am I careless in this area? Meaning, is this one of those areas I've decided I couldn't care less what God says? Is this an area where I've decided, you know what, I think I'm smarter. I think I know more. Because see, God could be pouring out in that area. He could be trying to speak. He'd be trying to bless. He could be sending wisdom. He could be sending understanding. But if you've decided I could care less, it's a footpath and the seed's gone. And we don't even understand it because we never stop to ask the question, wait. Why do we think we're not getting the results here? Oh, I know, because I've never asked God what he thinks. I've never even questioned what he would say in this moment. And it's not a condemnation. It's an invitation. He's saying, ask me. Man, I'd love to help. I would love to speak. I would love to show some truth. Just bring me in to the situation. But for most of us in the room, that's not the case. We probably don't have areas where we just completely discount God. Maybe in those areas we don't have careless soil. Maybe in those areas we have convenient soil. Hey, God, I know what you want me to do. I just don't really want to do it. But I want you to bless me anyway. Hey, God, you do your part. I'm not going to do mine. We laugh, but we know it's true. We know it's true. And it's usually because, maybe my life, maybe yours, there's some underlying issues. There's some big rocks. Rocks of guilt. Rocks of shame. Rocks of doubt. Rocks of pain and hurt that haven't been healed. And they're directly under the surface of our lives and directly under the surface of our souls. And so God's word is never able to firmly plant inside because you've got these big rocks that we avoid and that we don't want to deal with. And God is just simply inviting us to say, hey, if you'll let me, I'll help you get rid of those big rocks. And it'll change your life. But maybe you say, no, it's not convenient, no. Crowded is how I would describe my life. I have a crowded life. Maybe I have a crowded soul. And I love my life. It's a great life. But it feels like something is lacking because we're running and we're running and we're running and we're working harder than we ever have and we're doing more than we ever have. And if I'm super honest with you, I'm as tired as I've ever been. And Jesus would say, okay, I understand that. Hey, look around. Are there some thorns in your life? Are there some things that are crowding out the things of God? Or maybe you're doing so many good things that you need to focus more on a few God things. And please hear me. I'm not talking about don't have fun, don't have a great career, don't travel, don't let your kids do sports. I'm not talking about any of that. What I'm saying is, there come seasons of time where we need to go to God and say, hey, God, is this too much? Because I'm doing all this stuff and I'm feeling exhausted. I'm feeling depleted. I'm not feeling connected to you. What do you think I should remove? And when he answers us, we obey. Because when we do that, when we can bring to God the committed soil. Not perfect. But hey, God, I'm in love with you and I trust you above all and I want to follow you. And if there's something in my life you need to remove, I want you to help me. I'm all in, God. How can I serve you? Jesus' promise is exponential results. 30, 60, 100 times. What he gives us, because that is how he wants to move and work in our lives. So, again, as I said at the top, if your life is perfect, thanks for humoring me for the last 27 minutes. But if it's not, if there are areas, if there are places, if there are things that when you go to bed at night, you know, man, this could be better. I feel like I'm struggling here. I don't know what step to take. Here's what this story teaches. Here's the question I'm daring all of us to ask today and this week. It's this. How am I cultivating the soil of my soul? Because we know Jesus is going to do his part. The question is, are we doing ours? What steps are we taking to make sure we maintain healthy soil in our soul? Fertile soil so that the God of the universe can speak directly to us and produce exponential results. So it leads to a great question and it's this. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we cultivate a healthy soil? Well, number one, every single week when we gather as a church and someone teaches from this stage, we are teaching you how to cultivate a healthy soul. It's literally what we do every single week. But as we wrap up, I want to give you just a few highlights, a few just quick pointers that hopefully you can think about today, you can think about this week, maybe with your friends, maybe with your family, maybe with some coworkers. Talk about this. Say, how do we cultivate a healthy soul? Because the number one is so easy. We get to know Jesus. Really, we get to know Jesus. We spend some time alone with him. April Colgate just wrapped up 3 weeks on teaching us how to pray, how to grow our relationship with Jesus. We pray. We read our Bibles. We truly begin to get to know him. And this step is how we deal with the careless soil. If we believe there are some areas where we're careless, we choose to care. We say, hey, what would Jesus say about this? Do we think he speaks on this matter? I wonder what his opinion would be. But we don't stop with getting to know Jesus. The step we have to take is then we have to decide to follow Jesus. See, we talk a lot about believing in Jesus. And believing is really important. We are saved by faith, but it is a faith that produces action. If we want to experience God's results in our life, we have to decide to follow Jesus. We have to decide not to just hear what he says. We have to decide to do what he says. And as we take that step, we begin to take a hammer to the footpath. We begin to take the plow. We begin to till the soil. We begin to loosen it. We begin to get it ready for planting. But that's not all God wants us to do. You and me and all of us, we have boulders in our lives. We have bad habits. Some of us have addictions. We have shame. We have guilt. We have regret. We have things in our past. We have things we struggle with every single day. Bad tempers. These big rocks that are just under the surface that we struggle with every day. And God has actually given us a step for that as well. A step to remove those rocks. And it's this. Join a circle. See, we say at our church, life change happens in circles, not rows. We learn in rows, we change in circles. We change in groups of people. Do you know why? You know the value of joining a small group, the value of joining a community group, the value of joining a Bible study? It's because you find people who have the same rocks you do. You find people who have the same struggles you do. And the benefit of that is, until you discover that, our enemy convinces you you're the only one who struggles with that and you're unworthy of help. But in circles, we realize other people struggle too. And sometimes in circles, we fight, whoa, 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 you've already figured out how to get rid of this rock in your life? Will you help me too? Absolutely. And it's in community that we learn the steps to begin to remove some of those boulders. And the soil gets more fertile. But still, how do we know which of the good things are the best things? How do we know which of the good things are the right things? That's good to get rid of the boulders. How do we get rid of the thorns? How do we get rid of the things that can sometimes choke out our life? That we spend so much time doing good, so much time doing everything we think we should do, that we sometimes miss out on what God wants. Do you know God has given us a step for that as well? It's this. We choose to play our role. See, God has given each one of us a unique set of gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities, and he wants to use us to play our role in his story. I believe through the local church. And here's the amazing thing. I see it happen over and over and over again. I see men, women, I see kids. When they get serious about serving God and using their gifts and strengths and talents and abilities for him, their eyes get opened to what he's doing through them, and he elevates them and he elevates their understanding to a place to where some of those things that were holding them back, it's not even a contest anymore. They're like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't be doing this anymore. Yeah, maybe we don't need 3 hobbies. Yeah, maybe we didn't need that. No. This is better. As we play our role, God begins to show us, that's a thorn, get rid of it. That's not a thorn. No, don't get rid of that. That's amazing. Water that, grow that. That's a thorn. We need to get rid of that. But it's only as we begin to see God use us that we get the clarity to understand how to prune some of the things in our life. And then, if we truly want to experience exponential results in our life, here's the last step. We begin to invest in those that need Jesus. See, as God begins to move in us and grow in us and change us, he doesn't do it just for us. He does it for the people around us, our friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers that need Jesus. And that last step is to begin investing in them. Just begin building relationships with them. Praying for the opportunity to share why you believe what you believe. Either by inviting them to church, or I know it sounds crazy, I know it sounds overwhelming, but maybe you sitting down and talking to them directly about why you're a Christian and about how they can become one too. I'll give you a little preview. About a month from now, we've got a whole sermon planned just on that topic, on how to share our faith with other people personally. And I believe it's going to change lives. I'm really excited about it. See, there's no limit to what God wants to do. His love, his favor, his spirit is freely available for all of us. So if we don't like the results we're getting, Jesus teaches us a question to ask. And it says, how am I cultivating the soil of my soul? What steps am I taking? Do I know Jesus? Am I following Jesus? Am I surrounded by people that love Jesus? Am I using my gifts for Jesus? Am I investing in people that don't know Jesus? Until you're doing all five of those things regularly, that's your answer to why am I not getting the results in my life. If you're doing all five, still not getting results, come see me tomorrow. Because our God is good. And our God is going to produce His results in our lives. So my challenge for me, my challenge you, my challenge for all of us today as we leave this place is to spend today asking this question. How am I cultivating the soil of my soul? Decide today what it's going to take for you to live differently tomorrow. Because it's not enough to believe, we have to do. What step does God want you to take? What step does He want me to take? What step does He want us to take to cultivate our souls, to make them the perfect fertile ground for Him to produce results beyond anything we can imagine? Because that's His promise. And it's up to us to play our part. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much. Oh God, we're just so thankful for Your Son. We are just so thankful for the simple truth that You give us. The step-by-step plan to evaluate our lives, to evaluate our souls, to see the steps we're taking, to point us toward cultivation. Father, I pray You give us the steps today to cultivate the soils of our soul. What can we do to prepare? What can we do to be ready to receive what it is You want to give? Father, may this not lead to us to discouragement, but to purpose, because we clearly know what steps to take. Father, give us the wisdom to understand and the courage to step into the future You have planned for every single one of us. We love You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.